Truth. 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 Soaring past slow and still, walking past crowded masses with eyes of golden pale. Now we'll go the way very few have gone before we pass the day. I want so much more to spend the time drawing out what others have said. The day will rise and fall again, or so I have read. I will do not weep, pass all this fortune to rejoice my strength. I'll ask nothing more. I do not weep, pass all this fortune to stonewall faces. I'll be kicking out. Take my hand, walking down this road. I believe in a foreign land, better than we know. Where we stand secure, no pain is not a story. Walk the way through the shadow of death. We're still down three times, fall violent from the stormy. No pulling punches through all of this mess. I will go.
All right. Second hour of the program, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. If you want to call in and tell me how you're feeling, what your premonitions are, go for it. You know, I was looking at some of these Q posts, and this whole QAnon kind of let's say apparel and signs all over Europe and at The Hague. And it's very fascinating how this phenomenon has become this underground kind of thing. There's a picture of Mike Pence. This was back from around the 30th. Yeah. Post 2519. Pence shares picture of himself meeting a SWAT officer with a QAnon conspiracy patch. What a coincidence. Why is the Washington Post leading the attack? How many articles have been written regarding Q? Who owns the Washington Post? Who funds the Washington Post? All for a LARP. Q. You know, this is – everybody's got their opinion on this. You know – there's tons of people out here. For some reason, this adrenochrome thing with the Satanists and harvesting this substance from the adrenal gland of a terrorized person at the right time, right before, basically right at the moment of death, etc., etc. You know, a lot of people are putting together all of this, and it's good, but it's also it's painful to dig into all this. You know, this strange connection with Hunter S. Thompson and Johnny Depp, the West Memphis Three, Kenneth Anger, and all these various you know, rock bands, Jimmy Page and the Rolling Stones. And, you know, we've talked about that Lookout Mountain stuff. I mean, this Terry Richards character, Terry Richardson, this photographer, this, you know, this underground in the modeling agency and the photography and music, and it's boiled over into, you know, like rap. And I don't know when this is going to stop. I don't know when people are going to get sick of it. When is it going to become old? I watch this stuff and I go through all these pictures that people are forced to pose with all the little goofy symbolism. It's just like, when is it going to get old to people? You know, these award ceremonies with all the little occultic BS. I mean, when is the pendulum going to snap back? Or, you know, some of these people want to give you a sense of hopelessness that this young generation is completely sold out and grew up on an iPhone and a computer and so forth. And then the whole thing is done. But then there's other people that talk about, well, this next generation growing up, the ones after these millennials and so forth, that they're going to be these hardcores, and, you know, there's going to be a rebound, a pendulum shift back to where it's going to be a full blown battle with basically this degenerate, goofy, underground and I just, you go through some dark places when you research this stuff. And hopefully, this Salvini guy in Italy, and Bolsonaro in Brazil and Orban in Hungary and the young guy in Austria, I can't remember his name right now, but, hopefully some things swing, with what's going on in France right now with this revolt against Macron and these taxes and so forth. I mean, there's so many people in France right now that are basically incompatible with Western civilization. Where this leads, Europe's going to go through it's going to be ugly there probably before it gets ugly here, but this remains to be seen. Let's take Fred in Michigan. What's happening, Fred?
Brother Bob, it sounds like the clergy plan in full force.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, sure. Oh, sure.
So the clergy plan for European ethnocide, international communism. Mm-hmm. Of course, Saul Alinsky was one of the spear chucker advocates of all that, mentor to the Chicago Talmudic Bolshevik communitarian Jew cadre. This morass with the George H.W. Skull and Bones satanic murderer, rapist, conniver, saboteur. I wonder where he was at the time of Ronald Reagan's.
Allegedly he had dinner with Hinckley's brother or the night before.
I think, John Hinckley Sr.
Yeah. The father, yeah.
And then, of course, we had Ruby Ridge, August 92, and I remember distinctly Jack McLam describing helicopters with fuel bladders hovering over Randy Weaver's cabin. They were going to do a Holocaust incineration event, just like the fuel air bombs on Perm, I think it was 28 Feb 91. The retreating, surrendering 150,000 Iraqi soldiers were barbarically murdered by George. And yeah,
the highway of death.
Exactly. They bragged about being, after W's inauguration, being Talmudic Jews of the House of Judah, the family planted Janae.
The Sherfs. Yeah. That's an interesting kind of hold, the kind of trail to follow, the Scherf family, S-C-H-E-R-F-F.
Yeah, I somewhere along the line, somebody elucidated the fact that Barbara Pierce was the bastard offspring of Aleister Crowley in some...
That's a quite a big theory out there. One of Crowley's, one of the documentaries at the end of it, I think it was the Great B666, the documentary at the end of it, it talks about Barbara Bush's mom hanging out with the OTO Golden Dawn crowd over there with Crowley right about the time where she would conceive of Barbara. And she looks a hell of a lot like Crowley. So then all the kids, if that's true, George and all the rest of them are Crowley seeds.
And then there's a guy on RBN who's on every Sunday for 2 hours, who tonight or this afternoon bragged about being the seventh kissing cousin to George H.W. So that puts him in good company with Barry Sartar Sabarka, from Indonesia, the bastard offspring.
Oh, Satoro, Barry Satoro.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is if I was watching in the last couple of weeks, I rewatched Dreams from My Real Father, and when it gets into Bill Ayers, his father, and that whole May 19th communist organization, all that stuff, man, there's some heavy dots to connect with Valerie Jarrett and all that stuff. And his campaign manager, I mean, there's so much there with Obama. It's fascinating.
Yeah, now we have a national security threat. Brendan O'Connell elucidated this back in October with Tom Lockevera Stewart. I hadn't heard it anywhere else.
The Talpiot program?
Yeah, well, Talpiot, remember Boycott, Divest, Sanction, BDS?
Yeah.
That actually originated around 05 because of Talpiot, and it was cited by O'Connell at a BDS website, and when he was being threatened in Perth when he began to divulge all the Talmudic Israeli espionage in Western Australia, a lot of the stuff started disappearing, but the BDS site prominently featured Talpiot, and that makes sense.
You know what's strange about Australia is you remember Dubai Gate, when a bunch of Mossad operatives, 20 something of them, they followed a Palestinian, a pretty high level Palestinian arms dealer to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and they all used Australian passports. And you can watch this Dubai Gate stuff like on YouTube and elsewhere, where they're following this Palestinian guy around in the hotel, and they're all acting like they have tennis players and they're holding tennis rackets and so forth and so on. And then you Dubai is probably the most surveilled city in the world, right up there with, London. And, you see these guys go into the guy's hotel room, they go in there and strangle him, and then they come back out, and it took there's like 20 something operatives that went and took down this Palestinian, guy. That was called Dubai Gate, and a bunch of them had Australian passports.
Okay, so it's Israeli Mossad, CIA, that JFK, in his secrecy speech, 27 April 61, was elucidating as the ultimate planetary threat to mankind.
Well, I think he was also talking about the British intelligence system, which I mean if you really look at this umbrella with CIA, MI5 and 6, and then Mossad, and then Australian intelligence, Canadian, and so forth, you know, all these countries that are basically part of the British umbrella, you know, this thing is so huge. And you know, when we get into these operations, this Gladio NATO stuff, all these goofy terror plots and so forth. I mean, this thing is so massive, and it's just, you know, the Israelis, of course, this is their special little terror platform is Israel, where basically this worldwide mafia tap people into Skull and Bones. Well, Mossad gets tapped to do a whole lot of operations, but this thing is so huge, and it covers our, you know, what they call deep state, and Britain's, of course, is the city of London, and then of course Rome as well, with this ancient intelligence apparatus. Think about this when you think about in biblical times the Palestinian / whatever you want to call them, Palestinian Israel under the Roman Empire, and all the skullduggery that was going on back then. I mean, whether we'll ever, as the human race, will ever be able to come out from under this this boot on our neck, as Orwell said, it's a tough question.
Well, Shabbat Lubavitch is a prime element. I mean, they're running the Cyanim network for damn sure. Shabbat Lubavitch.
Yeah, well, that
Levi Semtov of Washington, D.C. is on record stating as much. And then Netanyahu, within a couple years, on some late night broadcast, Jimmy Kimmel maybe, he was asked, well, how does Israel manage to accomplish everything it does? Well, we have America. And Sharon said on 3 October 01, in response to the allegations of the Mossad agents that had been arrested, 200 plus of them, right, and then released, he said, don't worry about it. We own America. All right, so... Yeah. What O'Connell elucidated was Title 42, United States Code, Chapter 152, Subchapter 8, Section A, 17337, in which it's codified that anything Israel wants, energy, defense, whatever, they got it. They got it. And we need to attack this. We need to go after what is just at arm's length reach. We got to smack it, man. We got, like O'Connell said, you go out into, you hit the streets, you hit the groups, wherever you can access a group, and you present, start off with, how Israel rules barbarians inside the gates. And then, Israel secret weapons, Telfia program. Look at all the college students that are up to their eyeballs in debt. They want a computer science degree. Then they got to go relocate to where? Communist China, India, Malaysia, you know, Timbuktu. Because it's Israel, and O'Connell's the one that's got it all documented. They are equipping our enemies, man. How in the world can communist China have the most advanced weaponry equal to or greater than us if it weren't for Israel?
All right, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Fred. See you guys on the other side.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Rand Paul, time to place hold on the $38 billion to Israel. Rand Paul would like to put the Israeli regime on a diet because they have been getting really fat from U.S. tax dollars. It has been reported that Paul has placed a hold on the U.S.-Israel Security Assistance Authorization Act of 2018, which provides Israel with $38 billion in military aid over the next decade. This equals approximately $23,000 for every Jewish Israeli family of four. The bill number is S-2497. Okay. So quite interesting. Rand Paul, by doing that, of course, places himself in high danger. Let's take Dave in Nevada. Hey, Dave. We got Dave? All right. Well, anyway, so kind of an interesting kind of an interesting thought there. Now,
Robert?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, yeah. There was a delay there.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think one of the issues that kind of overlooked is what's going on in France is that people tend to focus on their own country. For instance, in the United States, like they start their historical background with, say, the Constitution and the founding and all that, but they don't look at Europe or other countries like France as kind of like part of their historical knowledge.
Sure.
And one of the reasons why I bring that up is because the French Revolution was, in my eyes, one of the in a way was much more impactful in terms of what's happening now in the future, especially with regards to the Catholic Church, because I think people there a lot of people are Protestants, and so they don't look at things from a Catholic point of view, but if they understood at least historically what's going on in the world from that point of view, they would see that the history of the Catholic, the world, the history of kind of, especially the West, really is centered at what happened at the Vatican. And sure. That, and so when
some people, some people even go so far as to say that a large swath of the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror, if you look at it, when the Jesuits got suppressed in the 1770s, okay, so you have 1789, and then you have these Jacobins. A lot of people think this was some of the suppressed Jesuits getting back at the Dominicans and so forth, and that's why you've seen a lot of this, a lot of these guys getting really butchered and so forth. And so there was some things going on under the surface there that various researchers will argue on all day long. But it's pretty fascinating when you dig into the Reign of Terror, the French Revolution, Robespierre, all that stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of the I don't go that detailed into that part of it with the war between maybe the different
priestly orders.
The orders. So I don't know that much about that, but I do know that it's just important to understand where and when the Catholic Church started to be taken over. Because it started a long time ago, like centuries ago. And sure. So what we're seeing now in the Vatican with all this stuff going on, it's really it's the people that you're watching on TV, they're really not even Catholic. And many of them are flat out Satan worshipers.
Sure.
That's
sure.
Something that this is in Washington and as well. And so it's hard to fathom, but really what's going on, especially in the United States, is really Satanism. Like, it's full sure. blown.
Yeah, yeah. I've been saturated with the research in the last number of days on this and how just extensive it is throughout the culture, and it's alarming.
Yeah, it is very alarming, and it's out in the open. But it's still in a lot of different areas. It's just disguised.
Sure.
I think that's very difficult to. That's the part that I find you can't explain this to people. It's not something that people that you can discuss on a day to day basis.
Yeah. Well, I've been digging into this. Whole thing with gang stalking and targeted individuals again, and this has resurfaced, and you know, and a lot of people now in the kind of the Christian sector are actually tying this together with Satanism and satanic groups tied in with, let's say, private security and so forth. And I mean, think about this. You have a somebody like a Michael Aquino, okay, Temple of Set type character, but lower level. And this individual has a distinguished resume. So then they can start a private security corporation. And on the surface, they're doing guarding VIPs and properties and so forth and so on. But let's say it's led by a big wig in a some sort of a satanic network. Think about all of the shenanigans that could go on if that would be the case. I mean, I just really don't think people understand when one of these wicked ones gets thrown into a very high position of authority or power, or the head of a company, think about all of the bad things that could go on, and then they would have semi protection because on the surface, hell, they're a legit corporation providing security services and so forth and so on. It's just wild.
So I see that too, but.
Look at the way if you're clicked up with the right circles. I always talk about this, like if you're in the right political sphere or the right kind of business sphere, think about the insulation you have from accountability, and you could be the most wicked, demonic person. Whereas, you know, other people, like I always talk about the left cover for terror, the Antifas and so forth, they have almost a carte blanche type of free will to go out and act a fool in public, and they really don't get held accountable. But like conservative type or Christian type people go out and just want to, you know, exercise barely any free speech. Boom. A lot of these crazy areas governed by the loons, they're the ones that get screwed with by the law. It's just wild.
Yeah. And so I just, and again, this is why I kind of look through history, and that what I point a lot towards to is the Crusades, because if you look at things like the Crusades, they were really military activities to counteract this type of behavior. But since we don't live in that type of society, There's one group that tends to dominate, because the underneath the surface of that of like a Republican or a Democratic society, a certain group gets, like you're saying, carte blanche, and another one gets shut down through legal systems.
Well, you know, you get into the protocols, and it talks about that, how they'll weaken basically all these once monarchical, you know, aristocratic societies. They were the protocols talked about that was the only protection really for the common people. And so once we get rid of those and we put in these republics and these democracies and so forth, we'll just be able to rape and plunder these societies have our way with them.
Yes. And So it's a matter of if you live in America as a Christian, for instance, regardless of what your persuasion is, do you want to have your cake and eat it too? Because I don't think I personally don't think it's very possible.
Yeah. Well, I unfortunately,
That's the conclusion that I've come to.
Yeah, you know, you get some of these quotes from the founders of the country. The Constitution was designed for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And so then you see a maxim laid down like that by, I think that was John Adams that said that one. It's like, okay, so what are the evil people going to do? They're going to start whittling away at the foundations of a moral and religious people. Then the government, the Constitution becomes inadequate to govern the people, you see? And so then here comes the police state. And so all you got to do is destroy the the decency of the people, and then guess what? The Constitution is not adequate to govern them anymore because it's a limited government document. And so it curtails the power of government. But if the people have become a bunch of loon, drug addicted, booze filled idiots that are running around rioting in the daytime, then what are you going to have? You got to bring forth the boot. It's the only thing that's going to preserve any last bit of order. And so they know this, and that's why they destroy those foundations. Pretty basic stuff.
Yeah, and this is, again, this is why I think people are kind of, they take, it really takes a little bit more history in terms of context, and people need to go beyond the United States and the Constitution, and they really need to look at what happened in Europe and medieval Europe and kind of start a little further back. Then they can see how this situation that we're in right now was dealt with in a much more forceful way. And that was the only way they could clean house.
Well, you know, I was thinking back about...
It was very swift.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking back to right when Trump basically was elected, selected, whatever you think. And then I was thinking about what was happening in Europe. And then I'm seeing Europe now, and I'm like... And I said, watch, Trump might have to... You know, we still got a lot of troops in Europe, but, you know, you got Macron talking about building an EU army, but it's like, you know what? The United States might have to be involved with Europe to stop Europe committing total suicide, because they're talking about 59 million of these more migrants by 2030 or something like this. I'm just like, this can't happen, or it's toast. So anything else, Dave? I got Frank on the other line. You ready? You got anything else you want to add?
No. I just wanted to put my 2 cents, and then I just wanted to kind of like put things into perspective. But
yeah,
Roman, thanks again.
Roman. Yeah, thanks. Roman, Greek, British, French, Spanish. We've got to look at all this and then the history of Western civilization, the church, Byzantine Empire, the splitting of the Western and Eastern Church, and then what happened with the fall of Byzantium and the hordes of Islam and all that. Yeah, it's coming to pass one more time. So, all right, Dave.
US style.
Yep. All right, see ya. Let's bring Frank on in North Carolina. What's up, Frank?
Well, good riddance to George H. W. Bush.
Yeah. Just like McCain.
You know, just sickening to see the lionization. The one thing that everyone seems to be able to agree on, including militant black liberal politicians, is that, you know, might not always agree with him, but he was a very decent man. How sick is that? I mean, it's surreal. Everything is surreal nowadays. And good going to Rand Paul. I'll have to give his office a call tomorrow and just chime in my 2 cents. But I appreciate at least one person in Washington, D.C. standing up for America.
Yeah.
The American people.
Well, I mean, think about it. Look at how much it is just to service the alleged national debt now to the Fed and everybody, the Rothschild cabal. And so you're going to give another country this much money. I mean, the whole thing is sick. Israel can handle itself with financially. With all the other skullduggery they got going on around the world. I mean, jeez.
Well, it's like, you know, I mean, some people have said it a whole lot better than I can. You know, they basically make the argument very articulately that we're borrowing all this money from other countries so we can give it, not to our own people and help our own people out, but give it to Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just insanity. It's like, I mean, we're in hell. This is hell, Robert. I think we're in hell. It's the absence of any kind of reason or logic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you speak the truth, I mean, it's a revolutionary act. I mean, you just speak the most simplest truth, and everybody looks at you like, oh, my God, what did that guy say? You know, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, it goes right along with, Frank, this kind of war on language. War. I mean, Frank, I'm approaching 50, and I know you got a few years on me. And it's just like, think about our childhood, where there was so much that was just a given that would never even be questioned. But now it's all been jettisoned, and now the very values and kind of mores that we grew up with as completely normal, now it's hate, it's misogyny, it's, you know, it's all these things to where it's just like, they've transformed this culture, and you and I have gotten to witness it, as you know. And that's why I think it's so traumatic to people like right in our age group, because we saw the previous culture and then we saw the slide, and now we get to see the who knows where the end result in, but we get to see now Caitlyn Jenner and the weird war on everything logical. To the point, that's just the point, to destroy logic, to destroy anything normal, to make abnormal normal. It's just wild.
And everything, every time I turn on the news or look at the front page of a newspaper, or at least a local newspaper, it seems like over 50% of the time, every news program, every segment, they've got something on about race. I mean, every single day, week after week, month after month. If it's not something back from the 50s or the 60s or the 70s, it's about race. And they've got commercials on, please help the poor Jews, and they're showing pictures of Hitler, you know, and his motorcade going through, you know, the streets of Germany in the 30s or 40s, and they're saying, you got to help the poor Jews that Hitler didn't kill. And they've got all this money. I mean, everybody knows Jews per capita are the richest people in the world. And it's so absurd. And these dumb Christians are just tripping over themselves to be the next one to give them a bunch of money and write them a check.
Yeah. This thing, you know, like with the trans agenda and a lot of the Jewish elements pushing this. You know, you get into the Bible, okay, where it talks about it's an abomination for men to wear women's clothes, right? And then, but then think about it. These people now, what they're doing to these children, they're basically saying, if you're a parent in some parts of Europe and in Canada, and they're, I'm sure, in Portland and Seattle, but basically they're brainwashing your kids to say, if your six-year-old decides that they're trans and you don't let them go start the hormone therapy and all the rest of it, then you are the one abusing the kid. Now, that, to me, I mean, we're real close to societal collapse, and we're real close to whatever comes in store with this kind of suicidal nuttery. We're right at the threshold here, and so many people can't see it, but I mean, there's so many indicators here, all in alignment, that we're right at the end of our rope as a society. It's just wild. You know, I watch some of these YouTubers that they attach a camera basically on their dash, and they drive through the worst parts of like all of our cities, and it's full blown collapse. It's full blown road warrior scenario. It's anarchy damn near. Downtown LA, watch some YouTube videos of downtown LA, Skid Row.
I've heard about it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's a trip. I mean,
well, I think the biggest thing on my radar going into this coming week, start tomorrow, is my ears are going to be, you know, listening for anything on a motive for this top admiral of the United States Navy supposedly committing suicide. I don't buy it.
Yeah, well, there's a couple angles. One of them is saying that he was against a false flag to suck us into a conflict with Iran, and so he was suicide. And another stuff I'm reading saying that this guy was the good guys in the deep state suicided him because this guy wanted to start World War III. So they're all over the map with the basically theories of why this guy was suicided.
Okay. Well.
All right. Well, I got two more calls,
man.
Frank.
All right, man. All right.
All right. Later. Thanks, Frank. Yep. I'll talk to you. Let's take Frank in Canada. Go ahead, Frank in Canada.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Well, I've seen better days, and seems like a very dark time for, I'm sure, your society as well as mine. But, you know,
exactly. But it's going to get worse, because guess what's going to come down in the middle of December?
What's that?
Our prime minister is going to sign on to that refugee program.
Oh,
with the UN.
Yeah. We're migration. Migration is a human right. Huh? How do you like that?
Oh, it's bullshit. Hey, this guy wants to ramp up our population. We're now roughly 32, 33 million. He wants to ramp it up to 324 million.
You know what fascinates me? And I want to run this by you. These people of this ilk that want to flood these countries—they're
nuts.
Yeah, but think about this. Look at—and this is the most glaring hypocrisy. And I've been talking about this from day one for about 2 or 3 years now. These are the same people that pose as environmentalists. So
exactly,
how are you an environmentalist when you want to flood all of these countries with people that basically, let's just say, with backwards?
Worse than that, Robert.
Yeah.
Robert.
Yeah.
You're looking south when the invasion is going to come from the north. Do you get me?
Sure. I mean, are you talking a military or just a demographic invasion?
A demographic invasion. If
so,
this idiot up here, this guy is Castro's kid.
Oh, Trudeau, yeah.
Yep, he's Castro's kid.
I've seen that float around. Yeah, yeah.
And it's nuts. This guy wants to ramp up to 345 million people by 2030.
Yeah, there goes your beautiful environment, homeland, everything else, and then
everything is finished.
Well, I've already been reading
invasion into you guys from the north.
Yeah, well,
that's sick.
I understand, man. It's frustrating to watch this. I mean, I would love to see Trump shut down the United Nations in the United States.
Exactly. That's what has to be done. He has to kick them out of New York, literally. Every last one of them. Out. Get out.
Yep.
Get out. Get out.
But,
get
you
lost.
Know,
go to
yeah,
hell.
I agree, and to totally delegitimize them as an organization. It was founded
by
Alger Hiss and all these communists anyway. So.
You got it. And there's communists everywhere.
Yeah, it's a damn shame.
It's sick. It's sick, man. It's sick. It's not good for you. It's horrifying for us.
Yeah, well, think about these small countries in Europe that are basically, they're never going to be the same.
Hungary and Poland,
Italy,
and the other states that are saying nuts to this. They are smart. They are really smart. They are smart. And the Hungarians are the smartest. You know what they did? They built a fence that came inside their territory and then went back out so that the migrants could come into Hungarian territory, but they were still stalled by the fence. So Hungary wasn't breaking any laws.
Yeah.
And they beat the EU at their own game. At their own game.
Yeah, the EU Soviet, they're a real bunch of scumbags.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And these people have suffered under communism. And they see what the nonsense coming is actually going to do to them. And they don't want any part of it. And I applaud them wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, that's kind of... It's kind of poetic, isn't it? Those countries like Poland and Hungary and so forth that spent all those decades under the Marxist boot. They're the ones resisting the invasion through demographic assault.
Right,
yeah,
crazy. You're exactly right. Anyway, I'll let you go. Have a good night.
Okay, Frank. Take care of yourself. All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. And we have Mark in Philadelphia. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Ray. I wanted to ask you something, because I'm originally from southern Missouri. I'm living here in Philadelphia now. But being that you're involved in the penal system somehow, from what I gather, it seems like I'm in touch with my family. I happen to have been adopted and... I bring that up because of what I'm going to mention here in a minute about social conditioning and social mass hypnosis. But it seems like from the reports I'm getting from back home is that the solution to crime is build more jails. So I was going to ask you about that because down in southern Missouri, the jails are overcrowded. So now they've got counties swapping prisoners or sharing space, some counties are raising taxes to solve that crime problem by building more jails. What do you know about that on the front line there in Missouri?
Well, unfortunately, the drug war muddles this up, okay? They're locking people up for possession when they shouldn't. I don't care if you're a drug addict, but the moment you steal to get the drugs and so forth, that's when I have a problem. So if you're just a junkie and you can find your own legit source of income a lot of people are functioning junkies. They go to work every day and they do drugs and so forth. To me, if you catch that person with just personal use drugs, I'm not for locking them up and putting them on a big bond and so forth. So that's what fills up our jails a lot. I would rather get the thieves and the people that go in and do what they call boosting things from businesses to feed their habits. And
for
so,
the meth. By the way, that occurred to me. I had some stuff in storage in southern Missouri in a little sleepy town, and it was a storage facility, but then it didn't have a gate around the big facility, and somebody came through and cracked open half a dozen or so, and mine happened to be one of them. And they didn't steal anything of value. It was just personal items, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, I said, who would do this? And I wasn't aware of the meth thing. And this was like in the late 90s, like 99, 2000.
Well, meth is
but anyway,
huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heroin is massive all across the country. The fentanyl. Now I was reading it. I've got an article from Zero Hedge. Dark web dealers shun fentanyl as opioid deemed too dangerous to trade. Well, guess what? We're losing more people to fentanyl opioid overdoses every year than we lost in Vietnam. And so this is the real killer. And it's genociding a lot of white people, actually, because unfortunately they get, and you don't want to see anybody die from this stuff. But, these people I talked about the Chinese connection to this, too, with Purdue Pharmaceuticals owning some of these, shells, Chinese pharma companies, and they're allegedly spiking this stuff into all kinds of the drugs, and normal people that are not addicts are overdosing. Yeah, it's really crazy.
Yeah. So, and then the other the deal about Missouri just legalizing marijuana. So, what's your take on that?
Well,
how do you think it's going to?
They did it through, there was like three different marijuana bills on the ballot this year. And one of them passed, and that was the constitutional amendment, which to put that in your constitution, that marijuana is legal, I think that's silly. I would rather have, local communities deciding that to change the Missouri Constitution to say anything about marijuana to me is silly. And then allegedly, and this is what I'm reading, is like, let's say a wealthy community, which is low crime and so forth and so on. And I got into it with this person in an argument about this in the last few days. I was like, so let's say some wealthy area, they're going to have to take in people that want to set up dispensaries. And so the local, from what I understand, local municipalities and counties and so forth aren't going to have that much leeway to decide, hey, can this dispensary go in or not, because now it's going to be constitutional statewide. And so now you're going to have these people that are basically selling marijuana out of the strip mall or something, moving into areas that don't necessarily want it. And these areas aren't going to really have the legal leg to stand on when they don't want a bunch of people coming into their area buying marijuana. And so the marijuana now is completely GMO and weaponized to the point where people don't even know what they're smoking anymore.
Oh my God, man. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
They're sneaking into the side door, back door, and they're compromising. Yeah, I got you.
You can walk into one of these dispensaries, and I've walked into one in Colorado just looking around, and there's like a string of like High Times level, from the High Times magazine level marijuana. Hey, this will make you sleepy. This will make you hungry. This will make you get energy. This will make you lose weight. I mean, they're tweaking this stuff. Who knows what the hell these people in labs are doing with the genetic structure of this plant.
Right. Oh, and one final thing concerning the social mass hypnosis. I mentioned that about my that I had been adopted. My natural family. Look, I'm a witness to the destruction of the family unit in America. Okay, because I've lost two families by the time I was 21, and the first family was both trauma and tragedy. But the first one was very dysfunctional. So the thing is, what I'm bringing up here is, so my family said I should watch this show because it's really funny, and it's because it's a totally dysfunctional family. It's called Shameless. I don't know if you've heard about it or watched it.
Oh, yeah, that family in Chicago.
Right. But
yeah, what's his name? William H. Macy. Right, I've seen a couple episodes. Oh, my God, that's ate up.
So, by the time you get to third, it kind of ties in better. The first couple are kind of drag, but you don't get it till like the third or fourth. But anyway, thing is, for us discerning adults, we can differentiate between it gets really out there. But what they're bringing up is they're bringing up gays, lesbian, multiracial, biracial parenting families, and all this. So it's a hodgepodge of lower lifestyle kind of choices. But for the young kids, they think it's popular. It's popular with them because it's funny. See,
yeah,
but it's degrading. It's degrading for our family. For our families. Anyway. So thanks a lot, Ravel, for being here. Okay.
All right, man. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And keep your head up and watch for the fireworks. Thanks a lot, Ken.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.